is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it, breathe me. Way I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton.
Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke.
Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Baton up and running. Charlie Brown say, my show boy, don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. True, they see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only Jah that I believe in, living. Watch them only pass through for a season, season. Godless, I go weed them.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge, or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday, 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. to 8 o'clock. Excuse me. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316, 325-4259. You can text us at 422-GR96. Our producer in the studios, it's none other than Chris. And I'd like to say to each and every one of you a very pleasant good night. It's a Friday night, so I want you to go out and enjoy yourself as best as possible, okay? And also remember that enjoy your life like it's your last, because tomorrow is promised to no man. And I'm going to give you a good example of it, how fast your life can flash in the front of your eyes. But today's topic is going to be talking about a speech by Miles Monroe that concerns what has been transpiring in our government agencies for the last 50 years, which absorbs both major political parties in the country. What Miles Monroe had to say is what affecting us today, whether it comes to corruption or wherever you're headed. But most importantly, the show today is to really give us an enlightenment on how we can start to correct our past by starting to follow what is right in the country. And the only way we're going to have to do that is by putting mechanism in place, check and balances mechanism. I've listened to some of the reports going on with both political parties when it concerns some of the corruption that is being overwhelming in the country, basically has gotten to skyrocket, and we all be humans, and we have to find a way on how we can decrease that, because it's kind of really affecting us, our choices, our decision making, and also our truth, making us become a liar nation just because of wealth or power. And if we don't do that, we will destroy within. If you watch what is happening in the United States of America, you can see that the United States was the superpower of the world. Now, they are not so superpower no more. Yes, they have bombs and they have missiles and et cetera, but they have lost their influence over even their allies like France and Britain, because they have started to see a pattern where they are standing for what's right. If they're saying something that is wrong, that a nation is doing, and these nations themselves have created enormous atrocities as a nation. France is one of the longest standing country that has been at war. No country in the history of the world has been in more wars than France, not even England, not even the United States. France has been in wars dating back to close to 1,000 years. That's how much wars France has been in. Then after, I think it's Rome and America. So, yes, and they even see that they have to stand for something that is right and correct it, because they see if the current issue continues in the Middle East, then it'll be total chaos. There would be no planes would be able to fly, no ships would be able to transport you over the sea to bring oil, to bring merchandise. You know, they see this. So even they are seeing what is wrong and trying to correct it. All right, so today's show is going to talk about some of my politicians who are being caught up in smear allegations. Some are explaining it. We have former Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames. You know, he's talking a little bit about this. Him and his wife helped to start a business, but was recently caught smuggling illegal substance in the United States of America. And Mr. Dames' name is mentioned, and he responded just recently. We also talk about the next gentleman, Adrian. Excuse me if I'm correct. I think it's Adrian Gibson, if I'm correct. Sorry. Yeah, I think that's Adrian Gibson, whose case is trialing right now. I think he stepped down. I hope that's the right name. I have it written in the newspaper just to be, on the right side. I'm in the right name. And then we just try to explain it, you know, step by step, and what is happening in our country and how we can correct it. All right? So, and just let me show you why I said that live your life like it's last. Okay, let me just give you a short summary. Just last night, okay, there was a shooting incident in the Cranston community in Hayes Creek. You know, I almost lost my life last night, you know, but thanks to some officers who use resilience, and it's not their fault at all, okay? It's not their fault at all, you know. Sometimes you have to give them credit for what they have done. They acted quite professional. It could end up very, 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 very bad, because it was a very serious situation. So let me explain it. There was a shooting incident on Hay Street around about, I think it's like little 9:30-ish. Young gentleman, I know his mom and dad live in the area. Some guys were traveling on the motorbike, and they spotted this particular young gentleman, and they opened fire on him. He was hit a few times in his leg and his back. The report is now that he is in good condition. They say that he could be paralyzed, but you know, where he just got shot, probably when the swelling go down, then he'd probably be able to move his legs. But anyway, he got shot a few times. He was lying on the streets, and you know, most people who were around in the community said that, you know, don't let him stay there. He would bleed out. You know, the ambulance is going to take about an hour to come. So they decided to look for transportation to Camden Hospital. At the same time, a guy who meant well, a good Samaritan, he came on the scene and he allowed the community to put the young gentleman in the car to Camden Hospital for medical attention. As they was doing that, you know, they put him in the car and the guy sped off with the shooting victim in the car, along with his mom and et cetera. You know, like when he sped off, we have to remember now the police is responding to a shooting incident. The shooting incident probably get called about 1 minute, 2 minutes. The response time from the police is anywhere between 3 to 4 minutes before they got there. So the response time is quite fast. But anyway, In the time frame response, like I said, the community was putting the young gentleman in the car and the police was responding to the scene of the crime. So as they put him in the car and closed the door, they sped off with him. So automatically, the police gave chase, but there was had a great distance in between. You know, you understand me, like I said, they left like about a fraction of a minute, so that, you know, it's plenty of time. Sometimes they hit the corner and the police is just, so they saw this car driving erratically and they gave chase and the guy was able to make it up the hill. The police gave chase, you know, so on the radio, you could imagine them saying the car, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, this. They don't, you can't blame the police because they don't know exactly what's going on. It's reported someone getting shooting, so this is a car gun of the scene. But anyway, the guy had sped up to the hospital and he made a crucial mistake. He went to the hospital and he just like took his injured cousin out the car very quickly before the police officers reached the particular scene of the accident emergency. So now someone has to put the guy on the ground, which didn't happen. He sped off in the car again, stayed there and probably explained himself to the police like he is the person who has decided to kill his cousin to the station because he felt that he was in danger. He decided to panic, you know, because he said that he didn't want the police crashing him. You just get locked up for that. When you get out, people in the hospital get shoot, the police go live for 48 hours or 24 hours crashing you instead. You was just being a good Samaritan. So this was what he was saying. And he came around the corner. So anyway, he sped off. Now, in Hayes Creek, the road is blocked up because the police get the yellow tape. So all the side corners is blocked up. People who normally will go down Hayes Creet, who don't really know Hayes Creet, just use me in Hayes Creet. So now they don't know where to turn. So they're turning right, they're turning left, the road is all blocked up. Now we're right there. This is like five, six, seven minutes after this. Now everything was calm. It's just that the police were still there. The community was all trying to figure what's going on. Everyone expressing themselves, saying what happened, how he's doing, blah, blah, blah. You hear all the siren. Siren. Now mind you, me and but six other persons on the side of a particular bar sitting on talking. We all these sirens, so we saying what happened, you know? We thinking they giving chase at the guys who probably shoot the young gentleman. And like I said, the road is blocked up. So now this young guy who carried being a good Samaritan, who made a crucial mistake of not talking to the police, he decided, like I tell you, to speed off, and now the police are giving chase. And the police don't know, like I said, if they're the shooters who shoot the individual, they don't know if he is. They can't predict the future and say this to the person who helping this young gentleman, who picking him up and carrying him to the hospital, because again, they're speeding off the scene. So the police, as far as they're concerned, is probably, you know, but they didn't open fire on the car, thankfully. Anyway, so he came. So all I asked, the patrol cars. And obviously, this guy comes speeding down the road, and the same car again, you know. That night, all kind of police in the area, he get about four or five police vehicles behind him. So a people from a little corner where it was to see what's happening. The guy slam brakes right there. Now watch this now. Listen, the police job is a very serious job. And like I say, you can lose your life very quickly in this country. And sometimes it's the fault of individuals, you know. Let me share our life go. So now, the guy jumped with the car. The police them got him a gunpoint, like I tell you, because he been running from the police from the shooting scene to the hospital, now right back to the same particular spot. Now, we on the side, we ain't know what's going on. He in the car, he's so panicky. The guy jumped with the car. The police them get the two AR-15 on him. The police say, don't move. The guy, car open, you know what the guy did? He went back in the car, people. You can imagine that. The police chasing you, and you come with the car, and they get you lying up. I looking in the police eyes because he's on the side. So he going back in the car, you know? So if you were the police, you thinking this guy going to get a gun and open fire. So the police get him lying up. So when the guy get back up, the police telling him still don't move because they probably look at his hand and see he had no weapon, but the guy still move again. So I was on the side, but if they did open fire, they're going to hit all of us in the corner because there are people on the side of the corner where the guy who was standing up in the road, where the police are telling them, do not move. it was in firing range of us, because if they'd open fire, which they was getting ready by the slight pinch of their finger, and you could not blame them. You understand? Even though the guy ain't had a gun, he could cause all of us get killed, and the police would not be at fault. So I had to jump up, lucky thing I get a little street nerve, and I jump up and I say, "Boy, don't move, boy, what you dealing with?" I said, "Respect the officers' commands, because, you know," and he tried to run away. We was not down the police, not even over there, but they didn't see us at first. And I push him back in the road, you know, and I say, "Boy, stand still, boy, before these police kill you in this road, you know." And then he look at me, and the police say, "Calm down, calm down." Then the guy drop his gun and say, then ask him, say, "What happened to you?" And they go and handcuff him. So he say, I used to drive. I used to the one who carried my boy to the hospital. And the police say, "What the hell? You got us? What, boy, what you dealing with? You understand? Boy." And, you know, and I watching Crest, and they get their hand right on the trigger, but you couldn't blame them. And so some of these things, boy, I could understand why. Boy, listen. Life serious. God, you could be gone. You don't have to do nobody nothing this time. You're just in the wrong spot at the wrong time. And I want to say thanks to those officers, you know, because they wasn't too trigger happy. You know, they observed the situation. They watch his hand, watch his, you know, and I mean, they was lining him up. I mean, I was looking at the officer because, like, that little officer couldn't see me because I was on the side. So, like, again, if they didn't even shoot at him, we still better pick up some shots because, like I tell you, and, you know, they are 15. They high powered. So they touch up, they grind through him, and then we in the bog there, we might have picked up more corn than him. Or he would have got away, and we would have been dead. You understand? Yeah, man. So listen, some of y'all out there, listen closely. When the police tell y'all, pull over. Sometimes they ain't going to argue, honestly speaking. You know, because I see that last night, honestly speaking. A young man and probably one or two of us was on the side doing, like I say, we couldn't even blame the police. Because we discussed this after. We discussing this, why is the police there? Because I was around the guy. I said, "Why you run over here? You ride all the way. Why you come with a crowd of people there to come out and run over here? You know exactly what you're doing. You won't put us in harm's way. But when you was out there doing what you're doing, you ain't going to pull on the side of the road there. But you won't come here, cause the police shoot at you, eh? And then shoot us up. Boy, this life serious, brother." You know, and even though he did a good Samaritan job, you know? Life crazy. Man, it's crazy. You just could lose your life just like that. So I want to say thanks to those officers. They was in the area of HQ last night, those responding officers. You guys did a wonderful job and hope you all assessed the situation because you all separated us. And then they separated us. They said, "These guys have nothing to do with what's going on with them." Then they questioned him. And they allowed him to go. Even though he did all that, they still allowed him to go. Because, like I said, you know, and you can lose your life just like that. There's a caller. We're going to take this caller and we're going to go to the topic. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Yes, sir. That's a funny story you tell. But I watched that on a few movies.
This was the movie. This was what last night?
I say that to say, right?
What?
See, these kids nowadays.
Yes, sir.
I won't call them young peers, right?
Yes,
but
sir.
I don't want to say that. Because I try and give young people as much credit as possible.
Yes, sir.
So I ain't down with nobody. But, like, I think they're lacking of education and what was exposed to the media and social media too quick. To be able to even know what makes sense and what doesn't make sense.
But you,
because that story you told just now, I thank God I don't work on the port. But for me going in that car,
I swear,
I'm
brother,
one off.
I hold my head. The police tell him to move.
That ain't sensible at all. That sounds like that's straight out of Hollywood.
But thank
God for life, and I have to give applause to them officers for not being trigger happy.
Yes.
Or too cautious with their life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so.
Boy.
Anyway, that story. I hope a lot of young people, a lot of people hear that. And I'll take here.
Yes, sir.
Try and make sense in life.
Yes, sir.
All right, keep up the good work.
Yeah, man. Thanks, my brother. You know, real. The guy went back in the car. I say, I hold my head because, you know, I was on the side. When the police, the police get him lined up. These two officers, one to the main road, two in patrol car. And then you get two of them coming. They line him up. And They didn't even see us in the back there. I swear, they didn't even see us. So if they'd shoot, like I tell you, they'd shoot at him and Richard, they in the right. Even though they kill us who was innocent or shoot us innocently, you know, they still in the right because they have to protect themselves in the community because they can't differential if they'd shoot us or, you understand? But we know. But they didn't know. So that's the same thing we was explaining to him and the officers, understanding all the officers. You see that? Yo, we could end up killing y'all right here. So young sis, let me tell y'all something about that. In the car with anybody, and the police tell you pull over. Pull over. You have the key or the ignition or pull the emergency brakes up, right? Because you could be gone just like that, and you can't blame them. Because you know that's a shooting scene going on, they on response. You know? Crazy. And I hold my head now. And here's the thing, people. I was uncomfortable there, you know. Before the shooting, I said, let me go walk home. Honest to God, I say this. Listen, people, I can leave this with you. When your spirit tell you something, listen. When your spirit say, don't go this way, or don't go that way, or don't go in the water, or don't go on the plane, or what, don't go in the boat, or whatever it is, if it's telling you, don't bother with a girl, or listen to me. I say, before that incident, I did feel uncomfortable. You hear me? I say I got home early from before, I think, 10. I mean, before 9:15, before 9 o'clock, I was supposed to leave. And I was hanging around because we was having a conversation what's going on with politics. Because, like I say, in the same spot. But anyway. Okay. We're going to start the topic now. This is what's going on in our country. And I think Miles Monroe hit it on the head. Both political parties in the last 50 years, and we have failed to correct it, and it's passed on to our Royal Bombers Police Force, our Defense Force, our Immigration Department, and we have to get back to integrity, put checks and balances in places. The government now is putting checks and balances. They are saying after they get reelected for a second term, they'd put checks and balances in place. They'd put a board of persons to be checks and balances who would not be politicians or persons from the party to be on the board that detects corruption in government agencies, meaning that they pick independent persons in the country to prosecute cases involving corruption in government department, whether it's the police force, defense force, whatever department. Just recently, we had a defense force officer charged for abusing some of his co-workers, and he is put on leave. He's put before the defense force board. Now he's on leave. They said that he was drunk on the job, you know, or abusive on the job. So we need checks and balances in place. I think that what we have allowed over the years is that by people being involved with political parties, whether you're on the police force, defense force, use that position or power to either get away with doing illegal stuff or taking advantage of individuals in your department that you run, that you are controlling, using your position. Again, people transfer. Some people do not get promoted because, you know, they're not part of the team. And they are victimized and discarded, you know. And many persons are qualified to hold these positions in government agencies, but never are allowed to because they are not affiliated with a political party. Or if they are affiliated with a political party, and that political party comes in power, they don't give that person the mechanism support they need to continue doing their best they can to develop the Bahamas to a level where we can be transparent. What I mean transparent means that we have a good working atmosphere where everyone is working together to make a better government department, make department be better. But a lot of persons use their position to take advantage of one another. And we call that the Black Rob Syndrome. And the only thing we're doing is destroying our country. So I'm going to play a clip about Miles Monroe. Then we're going to go to some other clips about what he is actually saying what is affecting us today in the Bahamas.
Romans ruled the world, destroyed themselves. Now, here's the big part. The Roman Empire did not fall by invasion. It fell by disintegration. Disintegration means it fell apart, like a piece of cake that just broke up in little pieces. That's how the Roman Empire fell apart. Oh, you just broke up. And what happened was everybody scrambled for power. And the result was many little kingdoms. Instead of one kingdom, many little kingdoms. Let me give you some of their names. Spanian, Franco, Belger. It's Roman Kingdom. Anglo, Roman Kingdom. Pachuco, Roman Kingdom. We know these kingdoms in English. Franco, France. Belger, Belgium. Porco, Portugal. Anglo, Spanian. They're all kingdoms. They are all Romans. They are all Romans. So their psyche, their mentality, ingrained. We were chosen by the gods to rule anybody who don't have our traits. They were chosen by the gods to be our servants and our slaves. They are not complete divine beings like us. We are superior. So the French and the Spanish, the Portuguese and the British, Anglo, call them Anglo, they decided to expand their kingdoms. So they came to Africa and the Caribbean, and we call it colonization. Colonization is the expansion of Greek leadership philosophy. So going to Africa and bringing slaves over as merchandise was easy. Why? Big lip, dark skin, busy head, black eyes. I found a million servants, they say. So they come to the West, they establish their plantations, whether it is Carolina or Florida or Louisiana or the Bahamas or Barbados or St. Kitts or St. Thomas or St. Lucia or Guyana or Mexico. They had their plantations and they couldn't use the people they met here because they killed them out with disease. And so they went and found some divine slaves chosen by the gods to work the ground. And they brought them over on ships. And the first ones to bring them was the Portuguese. The Portuguese told the British, we found some people to work the farms. And the British said, where you got them from? They follow us. And they went to the south, the west coast of Africa. And then the French found out. The French said, oh, let's go get some too. And then the Spanish says, oh, let's get some too. And everybody started dashing for divine slaves. Remember, divine means you were chosen by the gods. It's not racism. It's leadership philosophy. That is in the psyche of the system. Oh, I am here. You are here, some of you of my pigmentation, and millions of us here in the region, because of a leadership philosophy. That's how important leadership is. If the blind lead the blind. We were being led, and they convinced you. Matter of fact, if you read the writings of the oppressor, they wrote things like this. They read the Bible on you. They said, now you must be good slaves. And they gave us Jesus. You wonder why, you know, the black Muslims and people like that rose up? Because they even used Jesus as part of manipulation. You know, Jesus said you must be nice slaves, and then you'll go to heaven. If you go to heaven, you'll get robe and shoes. You can't get them now because we ain't giving you none. But, you know, you get them and you get to heaven. So the slave in the farm starts singing, I got a shoe. Massa, you got a shoe. All of God's children got a shoe. But I ain't going to get mine until I go to heaven. I'll walk all over. See, in other words, you get yours now, Massa. I can get mine and I go to heaven. All of that is brainwashing. Those songs that we used to glory and call Negro spiritual, you need to read the words of those songs. They are strong songs of conversion for your mind to make sure you never rise above. I used to sing them, so don't look at me funny. I was born in a little town called Baintown. That was a village of slaves. I'm trying to show you where leadership problems come from. So for 394 years, they ruled these islands, and they made all of us believe you were born to clean my house. You were created to plant my corn. You were sent by God to wash my clothes and cook for my children. And so there we were stuck in the back room. Oh, by the way, you know, you ain't got no charisma, so you must be seen and not heard. You see, that's all that's part of the system. So you're supposed to work, but no one's supposed to see you. And so the little slave walk around the house cooking, and that's, you know, and they're supposed to be around when Master got friends. See, the whole thing, that's why some of y'all are timid. You are so timid today, and you think you're cool. Timidity was taught. That is why when a man of my pigmentation speaks up, it makes them nervous, because you ain't behaving. Some of y'all wonder why they thought Martin Luther King was a problem. Because he was a black man talking loud. You ain't supposed to talk loud. Stay in your southern church, have church with a stained glass window, and shout by yourself. Don't come out here telling us we're wrong. That was the problem. It was a leadership problem. To tell Miss Rosa Parks that she's in the wrong seat was very natural for them. You don't understand. You say, presidential prejudice? This is the conditioning of the culture. You ain't supposed to sit here. Yeah, but I'm a human. You ain't no complete human. See? The gods told us where you're supposed to sit. In the back, they say. Divine assignment. I'm saying this for a reason. That is still here in the Bahamas. Yes. No matter how much school you go to, no matter how many degrees you get, no matter how much you think you know, when you come back, they tell you, you're just a smart slave. It's a leadership mentality. So now you know why Miles Monroe is angry. You see why I hate oppression? Because I got the truth. I love everybody. I like everybody. No, I like everybody. But don't you ever imagine you're better than me.
Okay. And it was identifying, like, when we get to the position you believe you're better than us, and we have these government departments. And I got to continue, let Miles continue, you know. He is one of the greatest revolutionized speakers of the 21st century. He was way ahead of his time. And so I wonder what he was talking about if you was to listen to the whole clip. He talked about how we get the black crab syndrome, and then we use our position of power. So here's the position of power. What are you talking about? You know, there's just recently ex-fiance says Gibson Ewers, W Water and Sewage Corporation funded vehicles for campaign and rental business. All right? So it says here, the former fiance of Long Island MP, Adrian Gibson, told the Supreme Court yesterday that his rental company acquired vehicles from a company he owned paid by the Water and Sewage Corporation. She also claimed he used one of these vehicles during the 2021 general election campaign. Ms. Alexandria Markey gave the evidence under cross-examination by defense attorney Damian Gomez Casey in the ongoing trial led to Water and Sewage contracts. She wrote, Old Bay Limited received 5 vehicles. She indicated that some were used by Gibson's rental company, Aaron's Rentals in Long Island, while another was used by Gibson during the 2021 election. She said the vehicles included a Mazda Silver Toyota High Ace, a blue 216 Mazda station wagon, and a truck, and a black 212 Toyota PR. Ms. Naki said she did not see any bill of sale or road traffic certificate of title transferring the vehicle from Oak Bay Limited to Adrian Gibson or Aaron's Rental. Okay, so he is not seeking to be seeking office, I guess, because of this ongoing case. And then there's much more to this matter where he used a position of power, at least he alleged a position of power, and now his ex-fiancée now is his giving evidence against him. It's a crown evidence against him. And this is not to take a shot at these individuals' personal character. This is just some concerning things that has been happening in our country that goes unchecked. He was allowed to go through doing all of this, all of the illegal stuff as a sitting MP under government, under being in government, and many people turning their face sideways like he wasn't doing these things. There's a mechanism in place that says we would check these MPs if they have not done what they're supposed to do. This was one of the manifesto of, I think, one of the political parties or two of the political parties that they fire these MPs if they find them doing things, if they're not performing, or fire them doing things illegal in the country. That went on. This is not a shot at the party. This is just the individual or what is in the newspaper. I'm just making a point. Then, you know, I could talk with Marvin Dames, you know, former Minister of National Security, made a very valid point. You know, he talked about the allegation made against him. You know, he was not involved. He is saying one of his company where he helped a young man, him and his wife. Let me read it so we get his words. First time he responded, former Minister of National Security and FNM candidate Marvin Dames said he has not been calling for a questioning in connection with a drug trafficking probe involving his former employees, whom he described as a young man who took the wrong part after he and his wife gave him a chance to improve his life. Malcolm Goodman, a boat captain who worked for Mr. Dames, was arrested on February 11 after U.S. authorities allegedly found an estimated $4 million worth of cocaine on a boat he was operating near Florida that was owned by Mr. James and his wife. Goodman had pleaded not guilty to the offenses, but is expected to reverse course. According to his lawyer, U.S. authorities said Goodman admitted he was solely involved in the smuggling of narcotics. So as we was accusing and making an allegation against Mr. James, he also addressed it. You know, he said that in this community, as a person who helped young people in this community and in the country, you know, more was needed to help young people. He said during his tenure, him and his wife has helped many individuals in the community. And as they do, you cannot direct the path that these individuals go on. You only could give them the support mechanism. Some of them go on the wrong path. And you can't dictate that. You know, and he's quite right with that. You know, even though he owned the boat, that don't necessarily mean he is connected, you know, as much of us would be saying that, right? You know, how we go, because, you know, we have a right to, based on all the stuff that we've been seeing with people in high places. So we all assume that, you know, it's him, it's his boat, and then the anti-gang law, and we wonder why the anti-gang law is not being implemented. In cases like this, you can be, if the anti-gang law was in place, it would also involve all the senior officers and the people who they connected with, and the guys from the streets who are connected to the officers, who all was doing illegal activities in the countries. The anti-gang law would cover all of those particular avenues. So the anti-gang law would they charge everyone together. It would be a good thing, you know, from head to bottom, from bottom to top. But Mr. Dames gave a good, not excuse, but he gave a good explanation for the circumstances involving that young man. And yes, he is correct. You know, you can help people, but they could use your car. He made a reference that if you lend your brother a car, and he goes and he puts a gun in it, you lend him. You don't know he had a gun on him. You lend him the car, the police pull him over, he has a gun in the car. How are you responsible for him having the gun in the car? Now you might be responsible for lending him the car, but you are not responsible for him carrying illegal weapon in the car or illegal drugs in the car. And he's correct on that, you know. So even though we're judgmental in the country, sometimes people mean good. And even though we jump to conclusion, sometimes, you know, we can be over-exaggerated, but we don't be too far from the truth. But I'm not saying this in Marvin Dames' case. He could be an innocent man who just wanted to help a young gentleman. But a young gentleman would use his connection to Marvin Dames, knowing that he was a very important figure, to get away one or two tents. Not that Marvin Dames know about it, but this would be the intention of the individual, because he knows that this man alone, being a former Ministry of National Security, you know, he could get a blight here and there, you know, unknown to Mr. Marvin Dames, you know. So, yeah. So our character is very terrible in the country. And then we look on the government side, we've had enormous poison charge with allegation. We could go on and on. So it's vice versa. You know, this is not a talk on the political party. It's a talk on what Miles Monroe was saying. If we finish listening to Click, where we have power and we become corrupted and we don't have no checks and balances. And because we don't have no checks and balances, what we are trying to put checks and balances in place now, and they're asking for next term. Free National Movement is asking to do the same thing, and the Coalition of Independence, and Independent Candidate as well. So we're going to take this call and hear what you have to say. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City. Caller, you there? They left? Yes. So those kind of things, you know. That's the crazy part about it. So we have that all across the board, and we have to put checks and balances in places, you know. And as we can see, you know, we didn't have no checks and balances in places, you know. Both political parties have allowed individuals to use their position of power there's a constitution that both political parties have. There are certain things MP is supposed to do, are not supposed to do, and they have allowed some of them to run rogue in the parties. And that's the bottom line. And the Bahamian people want checks and balances. Okay? So let me ask you guys, we have had more than 100 nominations those who qualify to be candidates in the next general election. So former Prime Minister Minister Galani, he's looking real good. Langs, Ms. Robin Langs, from the Progressive Liberal Party. Barnett Ellis, say change is on the way in Killarney. So we are seeing a lot of strong independent candidates in this general election. Boy, this could be a rough one. You know, the PLP is on the ground. They're trying to gain as much traction as possible. This is going to be a very, very unpredictable election. I want to ask you guys, what's your take on how you think this election is going to go with the last few minutes? What you think? What you guys think on this? And what you think this election should be about? There are a lot of things that the Progressive Liberal Party has accomplished. Many of the promises they made, they have delivered according to their manifest. I think 100 and something. They are missing a few. They won a second time. How do you guys out there feel about that? Do they deserve a second term? So you can call in and give your 5 cents if you want to. The numbers are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. Or do you believe that the Free National Movement said that they didn't make 5,000 homes? They would also not give with citizenship to a person not born in the Bahamas if they are elected the next government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. We have the Coalition of Independence saying that they'd give you an acre land and a portion of your some of funds or your natural resources. You know? So this is gonna be a very, very interesting election. A lot of people are undecided. Like I said, the PLB's on the ground, the Free National Movement's on the ground, the Coalition of Independence on the ground. We have some strong independent candidates. We have Reginald Wells, along with Dr. Hubert Minnis. So this is going to be very interesting. So I want to get y'all y'all take on this. We have a caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. So you can hear me, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. What I was saying is that. Now, I know you was explaining that with Marvin Dames, the situation with Marvin Dames,
yes,
right?
Sir.
And his partners with the boat, right?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sorry. You can hear me now?
Hello?
You can hear me? You can hear me? Carly, you there? You can hear me? Call if you could call back. I don't understand why we're not connected. The phone lines are open. You were saying something with Marvin Dan, so just call back, please. Yeah, and like I say, I only given my input. You know, the show is open. You guys can comment and come up with your own observation, you know, because that's what the show is all about. Husband, I'm missing. Yeah. Then we, and then, like I said, most people in this general election, most people are concerned about the fake voter's card. People are concerned about fake passport or real passport. People are worried about the immigration policy. I heard the Minister of National Security, Marvin Dames, you know, saying that, you know, not Marvin, excuse me, I get it mixed up. Minister of National Security, Mr. Vian Munro, he was talking about, you know, the safety mechanism about protection of Bahamian documents. And then we heard the Prime Minister, you know, supporting the issue of documents, stating that, you know, they are well secure and the checks and balances are places. But we are seeing where persons are getting arrested. The point is, yes. Oh, sorry. I'm going to take the call. Go ahead, caller. Sorry. Go ahead, caller.
Hello?
Good night, caller.
Okay, you can hear me? Good night.
Yes, I can hear you. Loud and clear.
Okay. I know you were speaking about Marvin Dane.
Go ahead.
Now, I know they might play these games on other people, right? But I don't expect them to be able to play on you, right?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Let me tell you what I mean. You're used to the streets. So.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
This person can't play street games on you. You know the law and the Bahamas is there.
I know,
sir. Whoever in the house,
yes,
call
sir.
Them locker.
Yes, sir. It's true.
All right?
It's true.
No
it's
question
true.
On whether you can negotiate, whether you should go
it's
or
true.
Not.
It's true.
Not, that's non-negotiable.
It's true. It's true. Who owned the vehicle has to be brought in for questioning, regardless.
Pardon?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so who owned the vehicles will be brought in for questioning.
Okay.
You're right.
So why now? Because of him. Okay, let's explain that. Okay. That's his nice friend, and, you know,
uh-huh.
he was only trying to help.
Oh,
you think that reasoning would help you in those days?
Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Express yourself.
Man, you know, I don't want you to do that, you know. See, I know you're strong in that, right?
I
don't want you to do that, man. I don't want you to do that.
I only put it out there. You hear me say it? I only put it out there for you guys to come in and, you know, give the 2 cents.
Because I know if you do it like that, I say, oh, gee, I can't believe they got you now. You
no.
know, like when you know somebody was on your side, now they switch.
You notice how listen how I said it. You hear what I said? I said, that's what he said. You know, I said that when you get locked up with these states, we normally know, so, you know.
No, but you see, I know you to be a straight up person. You ain't wearing, but what do you say? You can come straight out.
Yes,
I hear
sir.
You say that, but the commissioner believes you straight
yes,
up.
Sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Say that with Wayne Monroe. You,
yes, sir.
You,
yes, sir.
You straight up.
Yes,
but
sir.
Now, all of a sudden now,
no,
once you
chance.
Refer to somebody, you ain't got to get locked up.
I see. You got to get locked up. I said, that's what he's saying.
What's Marvin Dame? See, that nonsense with Marvin Dame. So, okay, I can be respectful, but I'm just saying.
Yes, sir.
What do you think as a former police officer? He knows a drop in the bucket. He
yeah.
should turn himself into the United States.
Yes, sir.
He should get on a plane and go over there and say, y'all need to see me.
So, let me get this from you. So, you're saying the majority of Bahamian people out there is not buying that story. Even that could be the truth, we are not buying it. That's what you said.
That could never be the truth.
Anyway,
now, see, you behave now. I tell you, behave yourself.
Go ahead.
If I own a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
that could never be the truth that if something is found in it, I could blame somebody else. That could never be the truth. The man could say he met that in there.
Mm-hmm.
The man could be taken off of you because he didn't want to call your name. We
yeah.
know all of this.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you know such thing as conspiracy. You
yes,
don't
sir.
Even have to be there.
Yes, sir.
All the man got to say is
yes,
that the boat, he lent me the boat to go there.
Yes, sir.
And even if you got to say that,
yes,
the
sir.
Boat in your name, the chances are the man who in the boat has a better chance of getting off than you who own the boat. He say he could say he don't know what's going on.
Because the boat lies in your name, insured in your name.
Yeah, you know that, man.
Yes, sir.
I see Grammys get locked up over here. Grammys who get catching the house.
Oh, well, all these Grammys is they 80 or 90?
You know that. You know. And they don't care if they're 80, 70, I don't know, woman. I think she died.
Hey,
she died when they took her into custody along with her bad children.
Hey, you a little slick guy, you know.
So, you know, I don't want you to do that last night.
I got to get you the dinner party to respond. That's why I said if you want to comment on it, because I know you guys want to comment on it. I got to make the show interesting and hit the fox, right? You understand where they're coming from?
Yeah, but I want you to do that. I never hear you do that before. That's why I say that.
Okay. No, but if you listen,
I never hear you do that
yeah,
before.
But if you're listening, you pick it up. If you're listening,
now, I want you when you see Marvin Davis to tell him to turn himself in. Just how they put it, wanted bulletins, right?
Uh huh.
I just want him to turn himself into the U.S.
Yes,
go
sir.
There, and then when he go there, he can come back and say, okay, they free me. They say they don't want to see me.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
even they're traveling now.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want you to use our last hope. Now I don't want them to get you.
No, man. No. I like to rub it in body. I gotta make it look good. I
don't want you to. I want you to stay on the side of the public.
See, because I gotta rub it in so I can get to you guys to respond. Because I know, say making it look little. You know, you guys can respond and meet up the show on the right track. Because I want to hear you guys comment on it. You see.
Because plenty of people in jail right now had plenty of friends who they was trying to help. That's how they get in jail now.
Yeah.
They can use our reasoning. That wasn't going to work.
No, you have a good reason for what you're saying. Because my brother, let me just explain some of the back of what you're saying, you know. Because I was going to get to it, you know. That's why I'm glad you called in, but I was going to get to it. My brother serving 20 years in Cuba, in a Cuban prison. His first time he got locked up for, I think about 9 years ago. He was one of the guys who got locked up at $1.7 million worth of drugs.
Yeah.
And the boat engine and a crop capsizing. 10 okay. miles out in the back of Nassau, New Providence. One of his cousins got eaten from a shark. Three of them made it to shore. He spent 4 years in prison. And just like you said, he ended up working with this guy who owned the boatyard, who built the boat. He, my brother, go on and put the name of the boat in his name and register the boat in his name. And when the police found the drugs in the back of Nassau, New Providence, 10 miles out, the boat was registered in my brother's name, and they was able to track the boat. And even though my brother said he wasn't on the boat, he still ended up 4 years in prison because the boat was registered in his name. Yes, sir. You correct what you said. Yeah. Yes, he is, and that's over here. But now he's doing 20 years in Cuban prison because he had out.
I think he could use some stupid reason, eh?
Yeah, most people don't go fall for that.
No, man, ain't nobody in any. You know, the law don't allow you to talk. The law don't allow you to do that.
Yes, sir.
Because they would say you can, even if he was a law enforcement officer, just like Sonny, the officer would just go to jail. Sonny
Miller.
What is it? Sonny what?
Miller.
Yeah, Sonny Miller.
Yes, sir.
Sonny Miller just gone to jail. Sonny Miller tell them, say, he need them doing something. He's a police officer. He said he was trying to make an arrest.
The
judge tell him, they never hear such nonsense in all their life.
Yes. And the helicopter footage shows that the DA officer saw him offloading off the truck, and then when they was closing in, he pulled the gun on his friends and told them, said, don't say nothing. If they say anything, he'd kill them. And he go work it out. Yes, sir.
And that's what he only get. They only take him into custody.
Yeah.
Because the U.S. was involved with that.
Yes, sir. I agree. I would agree.
Because if the U.S. wasn't involved with that, he'd have been free to go. All he had to do is share every day.
Everyone's saying in the country, despite what our leader's saying, most of us who live in the city community and live in Nassau at large know of the U.S. was not involved in the cases, especially with Curtis as well to the airport, that this great smuggling ring would not be exposed in the country. It was in the U.S. If we left it up to our Bahamian government, ain't nothing was happening.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, because they ain't serious.
Yes, sir.
They're supposed to be taking these matters seriously.
Checks and balances,
They're taking these things for a joke. Everything is a joke to them.
Yeah, see, why I say it like that, because I got a next caller. Let me see why you're so correct. When we have people to the top on defense force and the police force involved and drugs and smuggling, it's a trickle-down effect that affects us that we can't even imagine, because a lot of guys who they're involved with believe that they could get away with anything. So we don't know how much murders they got away with. We don't know. So that's why the country was so stocked with so much assault rifle. Now, we have many people who go into the gun business, but it was too much, man, and too much slackness, man, too much killing.
Too
much assault rifle was coming to this country. And there's no way possible in the country. Listen, I was a guy on the street. Now I'm seeing plastic AK-47 every day around by me. In our area where I live in Grandstand, those young guys around the corner, Ron, from Lewis Street to the King Street, we must have had but 17 AK-47 get bus run in our community in a space of about 3 years.
Yeah.
You understand it? That's how much I was seeing so much assault. Man, I'm the guys from every day seeing these guys peeling their assault rifle. I said, where the hell these guys get these guns from? It's impossible. Like being in the streets.
Sorry about that caller. One more thing. Now you hear Michael Tindall saying that he's going to do he would like to do a national lottery, right?
Yes, sir.
Watch this now. Listen to this, man. These people ain't got no respect for us, you know. The thing about it, he's not even considering the fact that we voted against a lottery altogether.
Yes.
Remember the red shop?
Yeah.
He voted against that. They don't even have no decency attached to their name.
Yeah.
Because why would he say that then? In fact, he knows for a fact that we voted against that. He's supposed to say, you know what? The people voted against that. I don't want no lotto and those red shop. I'm going to put them on notice right now.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Right.
Thanks a lot. I know you got another
caller
down, Mr. Brown.
Yeah,
don't forget what they say.
Yes, sir. No, never that, man.
You're on their side.
Yeah, no, I just roughed it in, but I got to make him look good. Yes, sir. We have an next caller. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
I'm fine. Go ahead.
Before I get into my comment, I listened to your story earlier, and you know, thank God everything worked out.
The
benefit of all of you. But let me ask you, how come the police couldn't see you all in the back?
Okay, see what happened, right? Is when you know they was chasing this car, the streets was parked because like where traffic was blocked up and went on the main A Street, a lot of drivers didn't know which way to turn, right or left, because they only was going through. So they had to go through the side corners. So as they was going through the side corners, cars was parked on the side of the road. So when the car came down through the middle, it was like in between.
Yes.
So the police couldn't really see over the next car. You understand? Oh, they only see the individual. Yes, that's why I say he didn't know.
Why he wouldn't comply?
Man,
he didn't do anything.
This guy was so drunk.
That's what I'm saying. Something had to have been going on.
Yeah, and he's on some. He must be on some pills too. I believe he's on that. That Molly. He was on that Molly. I know the little guy. I tell you,
that's preventative natural thinking.
Anton, he was dead. Mm. Listen, and we would pick up some shots too.
Listen. I thank God that you had some sturdy and steady head officers on the scene of that situation.
Yes,
because that could have just as easily gone south. And not only impacting him, but if he had anyone else in the vehicle, and definitely the other oncoming traffic and you all who was in the cut.
Yes.
You know, so thank God everything worked out in that regard. Because I can imagine the adrenaline was pumping. You're probably going to taste the adrenaline in that situation.
I look at this officer. He was ready.
Because
they gave him two. They gave him two warning and they was chasing him.
Wow.
And this guy going by. Look at the boy. They say, boy, what the hell? I had the curse because...
And he was a good citizen in that situation.
And he was helping.
That would have been the old massive thing.
Boy, listen.
But look here.
Go ahead, Anton.
I'm glad the last call got to your voice, right?
Yes, sir. You know, I rubbed it, man.
Good.
Hey.
Listen, I want to hear you with the explanation, right?
Yeah.
I was like, this Scrooge.
No, I rubbed it in.
No, man. I was like, this was all like Scrooge, man.
If you listen...
So listen, I enjoyed that dialogue with you in the last call, right? And let me just read something quickly for you, right?
Go ahead, Anton.
So I just pulled up something online. In the United States, owning a boat used to transport drugs does not automatically lead to your arrest, but you face significant legal risk, including civil asset forfeiture and potential criminal charges if authorities can prove you had knowledge of or were complicit in the activity, right?
Yes.
And so civil asset forfeiture, even if you were not arrested, the government can seize your boat under federal law if it was used to facilitate a drug-related offense, right? The innocent owner defense, under certain federal statutes, you may be able to reclaim your property by proving you were an innocent owner, meaning the illegal activity occurred without your knowledge, consent, or willful blindness, right? And so I believe that remains to be seen, right? But like, yeah, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
There's a ton more scrutiny in the U.S. than there is in the Bahamas as it relates to ownership of a home or vehicle or whatever the situation was that was used in committing the offense, right? And like the last policy, you know, Grammy them and speak, wheel off the court, wheel off to the police station, made the answer, and they use that as a pressure point to either get the conviction from the person who committed the crime, if they have a conscience, and they love their Grammy or they love their mummy or they love their family member who is unfortunately caught up in a situation, or they use that as a pressure point to get the arrest of everybody in the home, right?
Yes,
so,
to get...
man, reeling that old Scrooge now, you know. you're screwing me on that. But just like you're talking about the government, and just like you rightfully speaking about the wrong that's been happening in the country and how people abuse and use their authority, right?
Yes, sir.
That is vested in them through appointed positions, especially these appointed people, right?
Yes, sir.
Just jacking up people in the system. And you know, this is something I never spoke about before, right? But I'll take the opportunity to address it now to be talking about it, right? And it's relating to this same topic, but in including now or stretching the umbrella to the people who are the ultimate decision makers, right?
Yes, sir.
See, as Scrooge, it's one thing for people underneath PM and or the DPM or people underneath the cabinet to be committing infractions and abusing and taking advantage of persons that serve under them, right?
Yes, yes.
Or illegally or unethically or immorally trying to take advantage of people, right?
Yes, sir.
But it's another thing once that thing is discovered,
Once that thing is discovered,
we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it.
It's another no. Watch this. Not only that. Go ahead. Further screws. Once that thing is discovered and been brought to light, is another position entirely for the people over those people to not take action, to let there be inaction as it relates to addressing those people.
Yes.
What does that tell you if the people over those people in position and in authority become aware of factual situations that exist and they do nothing about it?
We ain't got no change.
A wise man like you.
We ain't got no change. You guys keep on getting corrupt, more
corrupt.
All
I tell you is they are condoning it. Yeah. If they don't do anything
it's gonna keep
to
on,
address
it. Yes, it's going to keep on getting corrupt. It's going to keep on getting worse. Like, what is happening?
It's going to get worse because the persons who hold the ultimate authority does not do anything about it. Therefore, they are actually condoning the action.
Yes.
Whether they are compromised or whatever the situation is, they are not prepared to take the ethical stance necessary to bring it under control and to put an end to it.
Yes.
That is one of the biggest problems we have
in the country.
What we've been experiencing over the last 4.5 years in this country, school. Do you hear what I'm saying,
Scrooge? Yes, Anton.
In governance, that is one of the biggest problems right there.
That's what we need to fix.
That I just hit on, that we have experienced and continue to experience in this state. We have people who, outside of them being appointed Scrooge, you know, but he's get them to study. Nobody want nothing to do with them, right? But these are the people behind the scenes, Scrooge, committing the most foul acts you can imagine against behemoth citizens. Good, decent behemoth citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Hard-working, positive, contributing behemoth citizens. And the authorities, who have the authority over them, ain't doing nothing about it.
Yes.
And that is absolutely unacceptable and totally ridiculous. And one day, Scrooge, if God leads me, because I only move according to how my spirit allows me. If God leads me, I try not to move out of spite or out of malice. But if God needs me, Scrooge, one day I just can open up my mind and start talking some stuff, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Because it's completely ridiculous and it's unacceptable, especially when you have these people coming back to you now and asking you to give them another five years to abuse people, another 5 years to take advantage of people, another 5 years to use the position of appointment that you have to get at people. Man, y'all got to be joking.
Thank you very much.
Y'all got to get y'all out together. Pardon me, Scrooge?
I said, thank you very much. Go ahead. Finish close up.
Yeah, man, they got to get their act together, Scrooge. Because, listen, man, all that pretty talk from these rally stages, that don't work because people experience the reality. People experience the reality, Scrooge, over the last 4.5 years.
Yes.
Right? And some things need to be settled. Thank you for the opportunity, my brother.
Thank you.
I'll continue to listen. God bless.
Thank you very much. He's talking about a lot of stuff, you know. Okay, when we talk about corruption, you know, when you look at party structures, you know, we look at Adrian Gibson, we look at, you know, what's going on when members of parliament are charged. There are checks and balances are supposed to put in places that way we can deal with corruption when it comes to police force, et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera. And if we are not addressing it, the situation is going to get worse. Whether you win the election or not, right? The big old picture is that we are going to get hit with more corruption, more scandal in the country, and we are not going to heal as a nation because we are not following God's way. We are following man's way, which is doing things that are wrong, even though we're saying we are a Christian nation. You understand? So, yes, Antoine making his point, he's talking about the political party and how they don't have checks and balances in place. And we have individuals within the system, whether it's immigration, whether it's the police, who are part of the party system, who uses the party system knowing that they know the prime minister, knowing that they know the deputy prime minister, and they have a position of power. And they use that position of power to get away with a lot of abuse that's going on in the country. And if we can't put checks and balances in places for them, then we are going to continue to get corrupt. We're going to take the next call. Go ahead, Carl. You're on Inside the Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, how you doing, man?
Hey, good night to you.
Good evening to your listening audience as well as everybody in the studio. Scrooge, Antoine, the way he ended that his comments and his contribution, I think it shows that even though this administration is pumping a lot of money in this campaign, it shows that their own people are dissatisfied with the way they behave for the past 4.5 years.
Yes.
And when you ask the question if they should be a second term,
yes, sir.
I say no to it. And I think Antoine helped me with me saying no for the reasons. But what I would like your listening audience to know, and I'm going to make a reference to Marvin Deans, but your listening audience also need to understand that whilst we speculate with Marvin Deans in that situation, right?
Yes, sir.
It was a former minister of immigration in this same administration what had had a finger pointed at him from, I think it was his second in command at immigration and the third in command. Both of those persons who point the fingers at him for going out the law with his requests and judgments.
Yes, sir.
Both of them was let go or put on some leave.
Mm.
You know what happened to that former minister, Scrooge?
What happened to him, sir?
He got a promotion and went to a different ministry, even better ministry for him and his, I think, in his profession.
Wow.
We know him as a police officer, but we also know his last profession was in housing.
Wow.
And he now has a promotion rather than this administration correcting that.
Yes.
After the loyal opposition had put more than 27 questions to that minister of unscrupulous dealings or dismayed,
wow.
which was a bold attack on our sovereignty from the immigration standpoint.
Wow.
And that's sad, you know, that's sad. But I like the way Antoine had spoke out, and I respect him for that.
Yes, sir.
Because not just because I wear a certain color, I must condone
wrongness.
The behavior. What is damaging our country?
Yes, yes, sir.
But I mean, Scrooge, I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Scrooge, those wholesale agencies, if one of their vehicles be found with tons of drugs in it, who is responsible for that?
Oh boy, that's a big one. Wholesale companies, if it's their trailer, it's them.
Not their trailer. You know, they send out trucks every day with stuff to go to different food stores and different...
They go with the company responsible until they do a proper investigation.
The company will never be held responsible because the company is stalking up their stuff, of their legitimate business.
Yes, sir.
And sending out.
And so the individual... Drivers, I understand what you say. Go ahead.
If drivers decide that they want to make an extra dollar and do something... Out of the law.
Yeah, I understand.
You cannot blame that wholesale agency.
I understand. Go ahead.
I think that it is just a political football that's being tossed around to try and discredit the Free National Movement and Marvin Deans. The leadership of the Free National Movement has no doubt that Marvin Deans is innocent. No doubt at all. They're convinced that he is innocent, so they decide to keep him.
Yes, sir.
So we can't point a finger at the leadership because of that.
Yes, sir.
Now, if it was something breaking the law, then I'm sure
that ties
the
in directly.
States would have already been there on the doorstep dealing with that situation.
You could, yes.
So but, I mean,
because they do proper investigation.
It's good in this silly season to like you know, use some little stuff for you know some little brownie points.
Yes, sir.
But. Let's be real, you know. Don't let destroy one another for something what we would like to see happen or what we wish that's the way it goes.
Yes, sir.
And you know, if I don't know, Scrooge. Let me ask you a question before I know you have.
Go ahead. I can take one more.
Yeah, you listen to the young man Kyle Bethel in his he did an interview, I think, with a PLP representative.
I was going to play the next. I was going to play it next.
That young man. I watched a young man born and grow. I was never so proud.
Yeah, that's what I was going to play next.
He was so articulate, and he was straight to the point with it.
Yes, sir. Yes, very professional.
And when you ask the question, Scrooge, I just want to thank you for intervening the last evening in that situation, True A Street.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I think it could have gone really, really bad.
Real bad. Real, real
you know,
bad.
Scrooge, I remember you in the bread truck coming to Nassau a couple of times. I spoke to you a couple of times. Right? And I've been on those streets. I hold myself responsible for some of the wrong what is going on in our streets because I didn't reach out to these young men who I notice are going wrong or who you could actually see like they're going down the wrong road. And I want to encourage persons who God are given a chance to live long past their friends and some of their little colleagues who have gone. the who God has given that second chance. Please, let us all, not just Scrooge, but all of us, we need to reach out to these young men them, because no system can change what's going on in our streets. Only us.
Collectively.
Who these young fellas are emulating. They want to be like what they saw we did in our days, you know?
Yes, sir.
Only one thing, they're doing it 10 times worse.
Yes, sir.
So I pray, God, that you know, everybody who got that second chance in life, like, you know, I know myself, I know God has been so good to me, and I thank him. And every day I try to reach out to these young fellas. And, you know, sometimes, you know, we might be afraid of them because, you know, they got this screw on their face. But those screw on the face, most times, would be young people hungry or just, you know, just they don't have an idea of where to go. So we need to reach out to them. And, I mean, you know, the problem can be solved if we put our hands, we roll up our sleeves and put our hands in that to solve that problem.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time.
My pleasure. I like how everyone they're talking. Everyone's talking nice, you know, and that's the thing. We're having a conversation, you know, a caller would respond. But it's a decent conversation. That's how we create an audience and where we could have a wonderful show. And everyone is hitting our points, you know. People say things with Marvin Dance, you know, you understand. He came and explained it. It makes sense, you know. Everyone is making sense, you know. We have a different point of view, but it's still, when you listen to all the comments, you know, it is understandable when you listen to the different angles that everyone is coming from. You know, we're going to take this next. You want to play this clip or you want to take this call? We can play the clip, right? We can play this clip real quick and then we're going to come to you, caller. You get 17 more minutes. So I'm going to let you guys talk real quick. Go ahead.
I think it's intellectually lazy to say that both parties are the same, because there are clear differences in the parties. There are differences in priorities, and there are differences in how do you use and maximize the limited resources of the government of the Bahamas.
I agree.
All right. Now, the clear difference is the Free National Movement believes the resources should be used to benefit you, the people. This Progressive Liberal Party government has presided over one of the most lucrative terms of government in recent memory. Coming out of COVID, there was a pent-up demand in tourism and there was a boom out the gate, 15% growth in GDP. The world boomed. But the difference was, in other countries where that economic development was experienced, they used it to invest back in the people. This government paid it on consultants. They did it on travel. They did, I think, to the tune of close to almost $500 million in no-bid contracts. You heard Sebas Bastian at the top of the show, $50 million contract for him. And so the difference is that how do you spend the money? And we have committed to $200 a month for single mothers. We have committed to actually paying the nurses and teachers what they are owed, because you could sign 100 industrial agreements. If you don't pay the people according to the agreement, what's the point in signing them? So we can pay the people what they're owed. We are going to actually tackle the healthcare crisis in this country. Because I will tell you this, the crisis in healthcare is in hypertension, diabetes, and heart failure. They're three leading causes of death amongst Bahamians. And if you talk to nurses, if you talk to doctors, who, by the way, are not paid either, if you talk to doctors, nurses, anybody in the healthcare industry, they will tell you that spending $300 million to put into the ground a new facility that does not deal with hypertension, diabetes, and heart failure is a colossal mismanagement and waste of funds. That money, they are telling us, and they are telling them, that money ought to be put into PMH. PMH, the roof is leaking. The AC ain't on. There's no gauze in the hospital. There's no Panadol in the hospital. I go door to door and I talk to people. You know what they say? They say, I'd rather stay at home then go to PMH because I'm scared I ain't gonna come out.
Well, I ain't gonna lie. That's true about the PMH is leaking, yes. And a lot of people said that, you know, they don't want to go in there, they'd rather die home. I had to admit my grandmother to the hospital because she wanted to die home. It's just not a place, you know. It ain't supposed to be that way. It was too small. It's outdated. It's understaffed. We have outlived the Princess Margaret Hospital. We're in a population of 100,000 people, no more. We have a population of 400,000 people, so that's like four hospitals, must be about 50 clinics around the farming islands to sustain the growing population, especially when we have chronically diseases like cancer, diabetes, incurable diseases, HIV, and et cetera, especially we're not getting the proper medical medical health attention around in the communities, like taking the medicine, taking the information directly to people who are affected in these inner city communities. You know, we have not done a good job of that. You know, we have to check homes. We have to go to the homes and tell them what medicine, what herbal medicine good for you, what medicine, what is good for you, et cetera, et cetera. That's what we're going to do. We're going to take the medical industry to the people in the inner city community. And we can do the true clinics, you know, going door by door and seeing what's going on in our country, you know. And like the guy, young gentleman stated, you know, the roof is leaking. Oh, you know? The hospital is the number one top priority, but if it's not dealing with, like the caller, the young gentleman stated, you know, diabetes, hypertension, and et cetera. And, you know, we really need improvement. But the government just opened a hospital today, you know, on the Popeye track, I think. A couple million dollars. Most people are in disagreement with it because they're saying it's not dealing with the chronic diseases we have, like what the young gentleman was talking about from the Free National Movement. So, yeah. Okay, we got a few more minutes. You want to play the last clip? We have one more? We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller, and then we're going to play one of the last clips. Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long.
Yeah, everything goes good. What's going on?
Yeah, everything blessed, brother.
Yeah. No, I guess we were saying on the Marvin the MC, right?
Go ahead, sir.
This week right here, didn't someone get expedited to the United States for drugs and drug trafficking this week right here? The court saying over something. It was on the news, on Guardian News and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah, the court saying over someone and they waived their accident. They gone. Yeah, it was expedited to the United States.
Okay.
For drug trafficking and possession of drugs in the United States.
Okay.
Yeah, so all I wanted to say to the caller earlier, no, he ain't got to turn himself in or nothing like that. If they have enough evidence come up now within the trial, they'll come get him.
Yes.
Yeah, they'll come get us like 90, Nigel, Bo, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other humans who we know.
Yes.
So if any evidence come up between now and that trial, and he even said, he said,
he's
the Tony Millicent on the island only because of the U.S. they get turned because it was vehement beliefs how to get shares. So he didn't know the U.S. don't play.
Yeah. Yeah.
He even know that he's saying it was there. The U.S. don't play. So if anything come up now between them.
In that case.
Guess how they had, guess how the expedition a couple of days ago.
Yes.
He'll come and get him.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes,
and
sir.
Then on the, with the, you see with the parks and playground, like with that $441 million, right?
Park.
And every year overrun, right? And the travel.
Roads and park and the travel.
Yeah, the travel.
74 million.
Yeah, 74. But you see, like, with the teachers, like, with the money and the nurses and things, like, there's all this, you know, money. Yeah, like, if you want fire engines for the old islands and things like
that's
that. That's it. They say, Mama, look, you know, money. The country ain't got no money like that. But once you get fine money to go over on these budgets and on these parks and playground budgets, when all these parks, them still all break up and things. And I see elsewhere. Johnson, by the, they aren't even, you know, swing their own rusty up and break up. You know, steps there, no nothing, man. No slide, nothing for the children, them. No sign, no nothing, man. There's $141 million gone. Slush one, man. Yeah, I see the show almost over, man. Great show again. So keep it up. Keep up the good way.
Yes, sir. Thanks, everybody. We're going to play this last clip because, you know, we like to play all the parties and stuff like that, you know. Last clip, this the Progressive Liberal Party, this is some of the progress they've made. What?
Across our islands, PLP candidates are stepping forward to serve.
And we are focused on creating new opportunities
for Bahamians to earn, to learn, and grow.
We are investing in our family islands.
From new airports to better roads and clinics.
And our country's first nationwide energy reforms are lowering electricity bills, reducing outages, and strengthening our grid.
We reduce VAT on all food items in the supermarkets.
Built affordable housing and raise the minimum wage.
Real steps in the right direction to ease the burden on Bahamian families.
And we are going further
Our blueprint for progress lays out how we're going to expand opportunities.
Expanding the National Apprenticeship Program to at least 100 apprentices per year. Growing Upskill Bahamas to more than 200 courses. Investing funding in the SBDC and BDB to support more small businesses.
Plans for our workers, healthcare, schools, family islands, economy, and much more.
And we also have a plan for the growth and development of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
The PLB is a strong, united team.
With experienced leaders.
And new candidates working together.
The Hemans don't want to put that progress at risk.
OSAD opposed so many of our programs.
From school breakfast to energy reform.
We cannot afford the FNM stop review and cancel government.
We're proud of how far we've come.
But we know there's more to do.
We're not done creating more opportunities for the Hemans to succeed.
Real change is happening.
Now, we need to make sure it reaches every home.
Our country is on the move.
With a strong, united PLP team,
we're ready to go even further.
Well, that's some of the, that's their portfolio. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside in the City for a few minutes, if you
okay,
like.
Okay, great. Good evening. How you doing?
I'm fine. Good evening to you, sir.
Great. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, sir.
You ever had a car that broke down, kept breaking down, always you having to refix this, refix that, and whatnot? You ever had a car like that?
So I have a truck like that right now, and I don't want to fix that no more.
Right. You ready to get rid of that?
I will get rid
right?
of that. I will spray that. I can sell that for a little nothing. Right now, I should speak.
Okay, good. So you think it'd make any more sense pumping money back into that?
No, sir.
Okay, good.
No, sir.
I use that as an analogy. I want to share something with you.
Go ahead, sir.
Reference to the new hospital, right?
Yes, sir.
I don't know what in people's mindset would encourage anybody to pump consistently more money into that hospital called Princess Margaret.
I agree.
That is, you have to be ludicrous. That hospital is well over almost 100 years old.
Our hospital finished.
If not close to it.
I'd finish.
And the thing about it, I actually can't believe people are making noise about a new hospital being built that automatically you're going to have over 200 new beds. We already know that the more you pump money in every, if you think about how much over the last 20 years we've been pumping to Princess Margaret.
And still in bad condition.
You literally could have built.
But four more hospitals.
Two or three hospitals.
Yes, sir, I agree.
And I don't understand what all the fuss and noise is about for the new hospital. I asked a person the other day, are you trying to tell me we don't need a new hospital in here? But the Chinese, I said, let me ask you a question. I can still ask you the same question. Do we need a new hospital in this island? And then finally he admitted yes. So I said, why are you making noise about any government
hospitals
decides to put a new hospital in Nassau?
I agree with that.
Are you that pro-politic that you can't even think reasonably?
We need new hospitals.
You understand me?
Yes,
we need a new hospital.
I agree with you 150%.
I keep hearing people talk about, oh, we left money to do this on the
Gainey Ward or something.
To do what?
The hospital finish, man.
Man, that's finished.
That's
like an old car. You just get tired.
I want to sell my truck right now.
That's what I'm saying.
I buy one second-hand transmission. I just fix that. My boy, Elroy, bring your boy to fix that. I start that about 3 months ago, get it licensed, get it insured, when I go out and drive it, the truck run out. You know what they do?
You ask in with him. That's why I started with the scenario that I came to you with.
Yes, sir.
So if you had a bad car, you can keep pumping money into that and pumping money into that and pumping money into that.
Yes, sir.
That's nonsense, man.
Nonsense.
So I wish that we could stop this stupid talk as if the hospital is not going to benefit.
We need the hospital regardless. We need the hospital, regardless of how people put it, we need the hospital. People.
This is it, bro. They ain't got nothing to do with PLP.
No, PLP for them.
All right, bro. Thanks.
Yes, sir. He is correct. We need all. That's what I've been preaching. I've been preaching for airports, ambulance, all these structures we need in the country. The government is building clinics on the family island to subsidize, to pressure off the hospitals. So they're just as good. But we need new hospitals. We still in this Bahamas right now. We need at least, but two more hospitals. You know, we need a children's hospital. Eh? Yeah, man. That deck could deal with the pregnancy ward and probably one or few other departments. Break it down and put different departments of hospitals around the country, you know. Old person hospital, you know, for chronically ill diseases. Separate the hospital. We need kids hospital and stuff like that. Separate these and you build a kids hospital so we have kids doctors can deal with kids problem. Then we have a hospital for the old folks and then we have a hospital for the maternity and then the chronically ill diseases and we separate them. Then we can deal with a lot of our country's problem. Then we deal with healthy living. Teaching our citizen how to live a healthy living. Okay, we can take this last call. Call, you got to make it real quick. Go ahead, caller.
Real quick, less than 15 seconds.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You, producer, for letting me get it.
Hey, listen, buddy.
Governor.
Yes, sir.
You can hear me?
Yes, sir. You troublesome. Boy, you troublesome. What's getting me in a problem? Go ahead, brother. He's my boy. Boy, I love you.
I can laugh at that all week. I got to think, what are you talking about? I just to call to tell you, keep up the good work, and you're doing a good show, and I appreciate listening to all the callers, Anton. My brother Mo from I call him from the FNM side. That's him who calls.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't know if you know the difference. We get way something alike. But I just want to say to the last caller, right? Caller, I mean, being with sign ungrateful, like the hospital, what they saying they want to do, that we don't need it. No, we need, and the Princess Margaret Hospital, we need that cafeteria to be fixed so the people get hot food, man. We need accident emergency to be able to deal with people more. People dying waiting to see the doctor.
Don't forget our loved ones.
My goodness, they
have to rent
a place to send the dead bodies the other day.
We don't need a new hospital. We definitely need a new brand new morgue.
Yes. Listen to me. We could do a specialty hospital. No. But fix it, Princess Margaret, man. We're still using it today. And people dying. It's making, stop making this political.
Yes.
The PLP could still do their new hospital they want to. But they're supposed to do a better job in the last 5 years with Princess Margaret. And if there's any reason they should get voters because of that. And that minister of health, he's the worst. How do you say it? He's a stranger to the truth. You can't take nothing what he says to you, but you keep up the good way. Thank you for
this. Yes, sir, boy. Thank you. Very popular, you love me. He's giving me all kind of problems, but I love you to death, man. So you always call him. Boy, you make the show so interesting. Boy, he'll be so slick, he's gay to talk. Marvelous, my boy. But from the guys from both political parties, you guys did a wonderful job representing. Some of you stand for national. Antoine stand for national today. He talked about the corruption and what we need to fix in government. We had a guy from the Free National Movement. He spoke very, very intelligently. We had a caller, representative from the Free National Movement. He talked about the hospital and stuff like that. Yeah, man, you know, good conversation. You guys continue to do well. I wish you guys all the best. Best going forward, and I hope you enjoy the show. And the show is for you guys to have a conversation where we can make sense, so that we can educate those who are listening to see how mature we are as a country. You know, listen how we had our conversation tonight. We're not rowing one another. We're not cursing one another. Everyone is responding nicely to their comments, so we can have a conversation. That's what how we have to live in this country. We could disagree, eh? But we don't have to be disrespectful to one another because we still are behemoths in the country. We want to get our country forward. You know, you can listen, eh? But you also can talk as well, you know? Again, I want to thank everyone who called in. To all the listeners, bless up the boy, Elroy. To the caller, when you said you met me in the bakery truck, that's Kelsey Lundy Scrooge. I'm the next one, Scroogey Downey Street. So it's no difference. But that's Kelsey Lundy. That's AKA Scrooge. You met in the bakery truck. Me and him from two different gangs. I was with the leader of the Border Boys and leaders of the Border Boys, and he was one of the leaders of the Raiders. And they named me Scrooge after a while. But my actual name is Scroogey. So yes, you met Kelsey. But we still as one, because we are the best of friends. We are like brothers now. So I want to encourage everyone to keep on doing well. Tonight is Friday. Please enjoy yourself. Drive safely. Eat well. Until the officer of the Royal Bombers Police Force, those officers who were on the scene last night, you guys had a lot of patience. You know, a lot of restraint. It could have gone sour. I want to thank the officers. I don't know their name, but the officers who responded last night, you guys were real professional, you know. And to the guy who was driving that car, you are the stupidest young person I ever met. You don't even value your life. You understand? Whatever was on you, you need to stop. You understand? You don't value life. Listen, people, that guy didn't even value his life. He know his life was at the snap of his finger. You know the police telling you, chasing you, and telling you don't go back in the car, and you go back in the car? What? So I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge. host of the talk show Inside NC that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Medusa and Studios Express. And I'll see you next week if God spell life. Enjoy and be safe.
Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect.